What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of In the Heyday. I am your host, Oliver Hayes, and I am here amid a Colorado Buffaloes five-game losing streak, bringing the Buffs to 2-5 in Big 12 play, and now 12-8 on the season. The losing streak started in the CU Event Center back at home against the ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders, where the Buffs had a slow first start, first half, came back in the second half, but ultimately came up short. Then they headed to on the road for a two-game road trip, dropped the games to Cincinnati and West Virginia, and came back home most recently, losing to nationally ranked Kansas and then unranked UCF. Now the Buffs will head to ranked Iowa State on Thursday and have a tough battle there before coming back home to TCU, which will be a potential winnable game for the Buffs against an opponent who isn't ranked. Non-ranked teams haven't given the Buffs some trouble, but back at home in a non-Big 12 away environment, it should be easier for the Buffs against TCU than it will be against Iowa State. So either way, the Buffs, you know, have lost five straight after starting out 2-0 in Big 12 play, and there are some big issues that are clear amid the losing streak. To me, I thought the big things that are kind of clear start with Elijah Malone and his absence, and how the front court has gotten shaken up the last three games of the losing streak, just because Elijah Malone, of course, fouled out, only played 7 minutes, I believe it was, against West Virginia, and didn't really play too much, and then got injured versus Kansas and didn't play too much against them or UCF. So hasn't really played too much the last three games. The front court has looked a little bit more thin because Fawaz Taco-Afiola hasn't gotten too many more minutes amid the injury and foul trouble to Elijah Malone. Instead, it's been Bangad Dak and Alone McKaylee left to carry the load for the Buffaloes, and I just thought it was interesting just purely looking at minutes, because when you look at it, just based on minutes played, the Buffs need to have Elijah Malone on the floor. When you look at it, whenever he's playing his least amount of minutes, I mean, when he's playing 12 or fewer minutes, the Buffs are only 1-6 on the year. They have 1-5 on the year. Excuse me, I need to get my glasses fixed. But their other losses, he's played 17 minutes or less. He's played 18 minutes or more. And the Buffs are 7-0, I believe that is. But when you look at Bangad Dak and Alone McKaylee, and of course them taking up the minutes that Elijah would be playing, it of course looks a little bit different for Bangad. It's not too bad. Only 0-4 whenever he plays 31 minutes or more. And the losses are a little bit spread out among the fewer amount of minutes he plays. Where Alone McKaylee, it's when he plays 20 more minutes, it's really tough for the Buffs, because he's the one that's having to come in off the bench and have to relieve Elijah Malone. And there's a few ways to interpret it. If you look at it and haven't watched any games, you can maybe assume that you need Elijah on the floor and he's impacting the game and in a certain amount of ways. Obviously, a lot of people don't think that Elijah Malone should be starting, and it's been obviously not good that he got injured, but good that he hasn't been able to play as many minutes, and the Buffs are exploring more of the front court because people have different gripes about what Elijah Malone can do in terms of rebounding and defensively, and how versatile it can be on the offensive side of the floor, especially after he had a good start to the year. Was very impactful, especially against Montana State, but cooled off down the stretch in non-conference play. Now we dealt with a shoulder injury, dealt with the injury against Kansas as well, and hasn't been too impactful as of late. But one thing that's stood out to me is that whenever he is able to play, and in terms of being able to play, it seems more on the defensive end. Whenever he's able to play and match up with the center, and is able to, hedge pretty heavily and be able to drop back onto a center, either because the opposing center or forward isn't versatile enough to spread out to the three-point line, or isn't too much of an athletic lob threat, then Elijah's, a feasible option. Of course, he's not too fantastic in the pick and roll. Overall, the Buffs aren't fantastic in the pick and roll. It's part of the reason why Tad Boyle was frustrated against UCF. and the defensive effort against them. He talked about, multiple ball screen coverages that the Buffs had come up with to try and take away, two versatile options in John Bull and Jamichael Stilwell, and, being the primary screeners, while Riley Kugel and Tymus Foulkes were the primary ball handlers. He had talked about the different ball screen coverages, but he also said that, the Buffs didn't execute them, and so, it's not only Elijah Malone, it's the whole team, but obviously Elijah struggles a little bit more on the ball screen coverage, and so, there's reasons why he isn't as feasible as an option, because he's not as solid on the offensive side of things. He's not able to rebound the ball as well. I mean, the Buffs overall are struggling to rebound the ball. They only are posting a 67.5% defensive rebounding percentage over the last five games, which they've all lost, obviously. With Elijah not playing in not that many minutes in three of the last five, it's not like it's all on him. It's falling on a lot of the Buffs in terms of bang out Dak, Sebastian Rancic, Alone McKaylee, even the guards at times. But either way, despite the struggles that are keeping Elijah off the floor and that make people want him to stay off the floor, offensively, he is a mismatch whenever teams are switching. If teams are trying to switch against the Buffs, and Elijah Malone gets a smaller guy on him, he will score most of the time just because he is that big and skilled enough that he can score over a smaller guy. There's not enough guys in terms of the front court players on the Buffs, outside of probably Malone, McKaylee, at times Sebastian Rancic or BD, but the Buffs, they don't find as many of the mismatches in terms of the size like Elijah can, and so I think that's why Tad Boyle is able to play him and tries to rely on him a little bit more, especially during non-conference play when that size difference is a lot more obvious. And the bigs aren't as skilled, and you can hide Elijah a little bit more on defense, and that's why the Buffs have gone zone again in Big 12 play, and it's been a little bit more feasible in terms of defense and rebounding. But like I said, Elijah, he's able to draw those mismatches, and can even score against some big guys, even the tall, athletic Big 12 guys, in the paint. And so that's why he's a decent option. He takes up space, and he can do some stuff that doesn't necessarily show up in the numbers. In terms of points and assists and offensive rebounds and things like that, so there's value in what he can do, but that also doesn't mean that the parts that aren't showing up in terms of production and what I just said, points, assists, rebounds, etc., the lapses that he has on defense and on the glass aren't a call for issue in the fact that he needs to be on the floor offensively for the Buffs to have feasible offense outside of Barrington Hargreaves and Isaiah Johnson. Because Bangad Dak and Alone McKaylee and Sebastian Rancic, well, they're all talented guys. Barrington Hargreaves and Isaiah Johnson, being a solid backcourt, have had to take on a lot of the offensive production, for better or for worse, and it seems like for worse, given the record the stretch of, not only defense but offense last five games, because if you look at the last five games, I'll pull this up on College Basketball Analytics. You can look at the field goal percentage and see that it's only at 41.9%, which is in the 21st percentile across all Division I basketball. And non-conference play, they were shooting, I believe, flat at 50%, which is obviously pretty good. So the Buffs' offense, it's been not too horrible, especially for the Big 12, is definitely taking a hit, and you can see that, Tad Boyle said, I think either against Kansas or UCF, that Barrington and Isaiah have had to take on a lot of the offense, and it's just because the Buffs they're not being able to push the break as much, and they're not being able to score in the paint as much. You can see both of these things right here, based on the stat sheet, and you can see in the last few games, but teams are making sure that the Buffs, can't do both of those things. It starts with the Buffs not being able to run in transition, first when the Buffs defense is struggling and they're giving up so many points inside, or the last few games, teams being able to just spray from the three-point line and make shots, even some tough ones as Riley Kugel showed off in the UCF game. You know, when teams are able to do that, it makes it tougher to get the ball up the floor, and they can set up their defenses and especially, you know, set up in a zone and things like that, like West Virginia and UCF did. But, you know, teams are making sure that they're, you know, playing the Buffs full court, making sure that they can't get into the offenses easily, and so the Buffs maybe aren't, if they are trying to play fast, they haven't been able to convert as easily, you know, and things like that. And one thing that has been interesting this year is that the Buffs, while they've had some, you know, improved shooting from the three-point line, even though it's only been 34% over the past few games, I think it's around 37 or 38% on the year. I think it's around 37%. It's only a handful of guys who are really shooting the ball that well, which is, you know, it's Barrington, Hargreaves, and Isaiah Johnson. You know, they're shooting the three-point ball well. But those are really the only, those are the two guys who are shooting the ball, like, who are shooting the ball more in volume. Alone McKaylee and Spasharanchik, are at 33%. But that's, you know, that's solid, but nothing too crazy. But after that, I mean, you know, Felix, he hasn't played too much down the stretch the last few games with Isaiah coming into the starting lineup, and that's taken a hit to the bench points, with Colorado getting outscored by UCF's bench, which marked the first time Colorado got outscored in terms of bench points all season. So the Buffs, you know, haven't been as productive off the bench with Isaiah being in the starting lineup. And so Felix Casares, despite his better three-point shooting numbers being, you know, he hasn't played as much and hasn't been as much of a factor the last few games. And so when the Buffs, you know, really only have 2 3-point shooters in their backcourt, which is still carrying the production, and then 2 all-right shooters in their forwards, they're having a really, really big issue because, you know, those two guys are trying to have to do everything, and, you know, they can't kick out and to the three-point line as much and hit the three-point ball. So that's, you know, allowing teams to pack it in and things like that whenever the Buffs do get across half-court and are having to run half-court offense. But even when the Buffs are running in transition, you know, you've seen that they've messed up in advantage breaks, 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s, things like that, with guys just going directly at the rim or turning the ball over and stuff like that. And so while they're still scoring 11.2 points per game, which is in the 70th percentile, across the last few games, that's dropped from like 17.5. In non-conference play. The Buffs were able to run a lot more and not be able to do that as much because so much of the offense because other teams are just getting up in those two guys, halting the offense and, you know, packing into the paint. And without Elijah Malone and in the game and the defense is switching, it makes it harder for, those two guys to score, especially when they can't kick out, like I was saying. And Bangot Dak and Spasharanchik and Alone McKaylee, well, they've had games here and there. Like, Bangot Dak was solid against Cincinnati. Obviously, Spasharanchik went for 20 points against UCF. Alone McKaylee was solid against Kansas. Like, these guys have shown up in spurts here and there. They haven't really paired together games that have been too solid. In terms of... just scoring the ball inside, the Buffs have dropped from nearly 42 points in the paint per game during non-conference play, which was in the 96th percentile of Division I, all the way down to just 28 points per game, which is in the 24th percentile of Division I across the last 5 games. And it's not all because Elijah Malone is not playing, obviously. When you look at what the Buffs are doing, I mean, look at the big men that they've played. Texas Tech has the national player the Big 12 Player of the Year last year in JT Toppin. Juan Watts is nothing to be played with. Cincinnati, Mustafa Tiam and Baba Miller, both tall, athletic players. West Virginia was smaller, but they went the zone, and with the Buffs not being able to shoot the ball as well, that stymied them, and they weren't able to play as well and score inside. That's one issue that the Buffs has had, is that with their forwards, even though they've had the height, whether it's Bangot Dak being, you know, a little too thin, or Spasharanchik relying too much on the jump shot, or Alone McKaylee not being as athletic, the Buffs don't really have the mid-range aspect to score in the middle of his own, which they struggled against with West Virginia with, and then eventually UCF, even though UCF is a tall, big guy, and John Bull, which also makes the zone a lot harder to play against whenever he was in the middle of that zone. But then Kansas, a very tall team with Flory Badunga in the middle, leading the Big 12 in blocks. They were able to switch everything once Elijah was out of the game. And, you know, that leads to the lack of points in the paint. Stopping the fast break leads to lack of points in the paint. And the Buffs offense has ultimately struggled, leading to the 41.9% field goal percentage over the last five games. And, yeah, I mean, that's really been the big, not the big issue. Obviously, it starts with the defense and the rebounding aspect for the Buffaloes, but it's very interesting to see all the little things that other teams are doing to limit the Buffaloes. And when you look at the defensive things, I mentioned the number earlier in terms of defensive rebounding percentage, only 67.5%, and which is the 33rd percentile. The Buffs are just not getting it done in terms of rebounding the ball. It really hasn't mattered who has been on the glass. The Big 12 has just been too much for them to handle. You can, you know, see why at times, whether it's some taller lineups or some more athletic front court players, but you can also look where it wasn't, you know, maybe as evident against a team like Texas Tech, where they're playing Jalen Petty and Christian Anderson. In a team in Kansas where Melvin Council, I think, was their smallest starter at 6'4", and Isaiah Johnson is moving into the starting lineup. Obviously, that makes things a little bit harder for the Buffaloes defensively. You could see, you know, especially last game against UCF, Demas Folks, I think he went for 19 points and 8 assists. He really had his way with Isaiah Johnson to start the second half, which was a really big stepping stone for UCF because they got that 2-point lead heading into halftime. They had some momentum. Folks played well in the first half as well. After Google picked up his third foul, he went to the bench and early in the second half, and Folks, you know, really carried UCF and helped them, you know, stay ahead, even though Colorado was staying within striking distance multiple times. And then eventually Kugel came in, and man, he was just giving everybody buckets. And that's been one thing, is the Buffs have not been lucky, whether it's been the whistle or banked in threes, you know, that have happened the last three games in inopportune times. I mean, looking at the shots that Riley Kugel made, I think he was 6 of 8 from the three-point line last game. I think he made 5 three-pointers in the second half. 4 of those 5 three-pointers were tough shots. I mean, the banked in three that I mentioned, he had 2 threes from that same wing that were off the dribble, seemed to have a hand in his face. Had another one from the top of the key that rattled in, and that was the three that went in the sequence where Felix Casares had multiple fouls, rebounding wise, and then Bangad Dak had a turnover on the outlet pass, leading to a foul and some points for UCF. Which is really tough for Colorado last game. But either way, Kugel hit some tough shots. And you know, obviously Darren Peterson hit tough shots. Tracy Neuwirth was a handful for Colorado to handle on her huff, too, with the three that he banked in. Cincinnati, they didn't really hit as many tough shots. It was more, the front court and Tiamon Miller. And then Texas Tech was Christian Anderson and JT Toppin and Lawan Watts. Although they enjoyed the three-point shooting why can I remember his name? I don't know. Either way, the small forward for Texas Tech, who had a handful of three-pointers for them down the stretch. And in the first half as well. Just overall, I forget exactly where I was going with that. Just tough shots that teams are hitting against the Buffs that adds to the tough luck on top of the already struggling play. So just a whole whirlwind of things that have led to a five-game losing streak over the last five games, obviously. But, you know, to bring them to 2-5 through the first seven games of Big 12 play, and now they have to head to Ames, Iowa, on Thursday to take on a very talented, nationally ranked Iowa State team. And I haven't watched a horrible amount of them, you know, this year. I feel like I've watched a ton of Kansas. You know, of course, they're always on national TV. I've watched, you know, BYU and Arizona and Houston a fair amount. Texas Tech was a little, I've watched a little bit. And then outside of that, I wouldn't say I've seen a fantastic amount of the rest of the Big 12 outside of a game here and a game there whenever some of those other teams are playing. And of course, it's only eight games in or whatever, and it's a non-conference play. So it's not like these teams have played too much against each other. A lot of it was non-conference play when I was watching these teams. But either way, Iowa State, part of the reason I haven't watched them as much is because they look a lot of the same from last year in terms of who they returned. They of course, have no Keyshawn Gilbert anymore in the backcourt, and no Deshaun Jackson at the center position. But still, Milan Momcilovic, the junior, he's leading them in scoring. Josh Jefferson, he was a transfer last year, and I really liked his play on both sides of the floor. He's been fantastic for him. A very smart player. Of course, Taman Lipsey, hometown kid from, fantastic in the backcourt. The freshman, Killian Torre, I believe that's how you pronounce it. He's been a great addition for them in place of Gilbert. And Blake Buchanan, I remember. I don't remember him as much in the conference play games, but I think it was in Hawaii. He got a decent amount of minutes and gave the Buffs some trouble. So I remember him coming off the bench last year and being you know, a decent amount to handle at 6'11", 215. I believe that was him. I'll double check just to make sure, I guess, just because we have the time to look. Oh no, he was at Virginia. Never mind. They had some other dude that I swore had B names. Now I need to figure that out. Okay. Just a little timeout. Timeout. Who was it? Brandon Chatfield. That's who it was. Yeah. That's who I was thinking of. Was that even close? Blake Buchanan? B name, I guess. Well, either way, Blake Buchanan, transfer edition. He's been solid. Yeah, Jamarion Bateman, freshman. Nate Heisey, I know he's a returner. Yeah, I'd have to be guessing at the other guys. But either way, four solid returners for Iowa State, and you know, obviously just as solid as they were last year, if not more so, because they're 18-2, 5-2 in conference play, and ranked number 9 overall in the AP poll. And when you look at the stats, you can tell why, because they're solid defensively, holding teams just under 65 points on what the Buffs are shooting in the last five games, which is 41% from the field. But you look at the offensive stats, and I mean, they're just as good, if not better. I mean, 85.5 points, but yeah, 50% from the field and 40% from the three-point line. And I'm not shooting a horrible amount of threes, but obviously can stroke it, which could be an issue for the Buffs if Jefferson and Momcilovic and Buchanan and the rest of Iowa State isn't scoring inside against the Buffaloes. And of course, it's translated into Big 12 play. You know, obviously Iowa State isn't unbeatable. Cincinnati, who isn't the most greatest team in terms of the Big 12, with six ranked teams, and Cincinnati not being one of them, and you know, all of those ranked teams being in the top 15 of the AP poll. Never mind the top 25. You know, Cincinnati beating Iowa State shows that Iowa State is beatable, but that was at in Ohio at Cincinnati after beating the Buffaloes. And so obviously they're, you know, different circumstances. I need to say stop saying obviously and of course and things like that. But you know, much different circumstances for Colorado heading to Ames on Thursday as they're on the 5-game losing streak and you know, playing on the road. So I don't expect too much from Colorado next contest against the Cyclones. Obviously, they, yeah, there we go. Obviously again. they have the scout a fair amount from last year. They have the scout on all the teams. It's not like some of the teams they played, such as Texas Tech, for example, haven't looked like they did last year. But Iowa State, I'd have to check, but I'd probably have to guess that they return the most amount of minutes played from last year. So they look the most like they did from last year, if I had to guess. So Tad Boyle and Colorado knows what they're getting into. Tad Boyle talked about heading to Iowa State back in the original Big 12 days for him, and how tough the fan environment was when the Cyclones weren't as good as they were now. So, yeah, very, very tough environment for Colorado to try and break the losing streak. So, yeah, I would expect them to fall to 12-9 and 2-6 in conference play. However, TCU, like I said at the beginning of the pod, not the press conference, the pod, excuse me, will be coming to town on Sunday at noon, an early game. And, yeah, I mean, they're a talented team. They have a talented backcourt, but with 2 6-foot guards, kind of remind me of Colorado in terms of personnel, and you know, just 13-7 on the year and 3-4 and in Big 12 play. They you know, they're in a similar spot as Colorado. Obviously not on a 5-game losing streak, and I keep saying obviously, oh my goodness, but 2-game winning streak for them. Enjoyed a 4-game losing streak a little bit earlier, but David Punch, Buffs are familiar with him. But yeah, Jane Pierre and Brock Harding, the 6-foot backcourt. Micah Robinson, I believe he is a returner. I forget if Xavier Edmonds was. I don't know. I'd be guessing. But either way, talented team, but I think they're beatable when the Buffs return home after the brief trip to Iowa State. So yeah, either way, it is late. I was watching the BYU Arizona game, which is why I didn't record it earlier. That was a good game. I can't believe BYU came back with the help of the refs. But Arizona fended them off on the road. So yeah, eventful night in the Big 12. Finally recording this, got it finished. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. My name is Oliver Hayes. I appreciate you guys for listening. I don't want to edit, so let me throw up this bottom third. Yeah, my name's Oliver Hayes. I appreciate you guys watching another episode of In the Heyday, and I will catch you guys after the Buffs play Iowa State or TCU, one of the two. But either way, thank you guys for watching.